Saturday, January 22nd, the barrage of ugly stories about Tony had spread these last few days, from the Post to the New York Herald Tribune, from the New York Times, an editorial in the Scripps Howard paper, even a ludicrous angle that would have been hilarious if it hadn't been so painful. That is, that he was really an arms merchant in disguise, going to Jordan in some sort of a plot to sell arms to that country. Poor, helpless, hapless Tony, so gentle and vulnerable and decent. And then the crescendo about Pat had kept up. Snide, nasty little stories, mostly Drew Pearson. More weekends off than anybody in his group. Transfer that put him within 20 minutes of his fiancée. Finally, on Saturday, suddenly it all began to catch up with me. Sleepless nights and agonized exchanges of words between me and Lyndon in the bleak pre-dawn hours. And so I felt limp, beaten. I, who was always saying to Lyndon, I'm not going to die but once. Thing to do is to get up and work. Forget it and exercise. See a variety of people. Some you enjoy, soft people. Some new, stimulating people. But all I felt like doing on Saturday was to lie limply in bed. I did go to see my old friend, Dr. Turchin, at noon. Always our greatest champion. And then came back and worked with Lucy a little on her wedding plans, outlining her 12 bridesmaids. And then I had a milk punch and collapsed in bed and took a 3-hour nap. The luxury of it is impossible to describe, and the reviving effects surpass any medicine. Lyndon had responded to his own deep well of strength early in the morning. I would like to think I had caused it a little bit, and had invited two people, who were always good for him, psychologically and intellectually, to come down and spend the weekend with us, the Arthur Krems. They were arriving about 6:30. He phoned me and said that he'd also ask the McNamara. So the six of us sat around for the most pleasant evening. Margie arrived first in the yellow room. Lyndon had taken the Krems and the secretary swimming. Second time today I take off my hat to him, just what I wanted him to do. They gave Margie and me a good 20 or 30 minutes to talk about her trip to California for the beauty conference, about Head Start, the Job Corps in Des Moines, I believe it is. Rare and wonderful couple. Then the six of us sat around by the fire in the yellow room. Krems told an hilarious story about how, as they were getting ready to come down to join us, half angry at their French maid who hadn't showed up for the day, the doorbell kept ringing so persistently. Arthur, in the bathroom, half shaved, with lather on one side of his face and the razor in his hand, finally bolted downstairs to the front door to open it. There stood a gentleman who said, I am Monsieur Verdon of the White House. May I see Mademoiselle so-and-so? Turns out he'd been the gentleman friend of their maid. What a small world. And apparently he still claims the house, if not the occupants. We had a delicious candlelit dinner. The puppies came up to amuse us. I showed Lyndon the Harper's Weekly picture, the 1865 inaugural of Lincoln.